I have an addition 5.2 email from Barry Matisubashti. Sorry for the mispronouncing. 8.5 mobile vet clinic. Also 8.6 community infrastructure development plan. 8.7 YG land lottery.
Make a motion that we accept the agenda as amended.
A seconder?
One second.
All in favor? Thank you. Okay. Adoption of the minutes for August 4th, 2006.
May I have a couple of amendments, please?
Yes, right, Councillor.
It shows that I'm in attendance as well as regret. So it kind of looks like I'm regrettably attending. And the first motion I passed, and that shouldn't be there either because I wasn't here.
Correct.
Thank you.
Any others? Motion to accept it as amended. Councillor Belanger, seconder.
One second. Oh.
Councillor Mitchell, all in favor? Thank you. Delegations. At this point, I'd like to welcome whoever's online. Thank you for joining. We'll move on to correspondence. This is a letter from the Canadian Institute of Forestry regarding the 2026 National Forest Week, August 5th, 2026. Takes place in September every year. Canadians across the country learn more about the forest sector and its significance to Canada's culture, history, and future. We also support a greater recognition of forests as a valuable, renewable, and green resource. Well, I think it asks for something, participation in something, participation. Simple as declaring a National Forest Week in your community and sharing posts and graphics on social media created by CIFIFC using their hashtag National Forest Week.
I don't suppose it would hurt to declare National Forest Week since we live in forests. Will this be an ongoing every year if we put a motion?
Says every year. Any other discussion? Moving on.
Thank
Thank you. 5.2 email from, is it Mrs. Barry? Matsubayashi. Hi, Blake. Just goes to read. Thank you for coming out to meet me this morning when I came into the office. I'd stop in to express the appreciation of two of your local heroes in my eyes. I had hoped that you may be able to pass on the names of the two individuals but especially Fred, on the Yukon Tourism Board. I saw that Fred had won a plaque for Tourism Board some years ago. When I pulled into CarMax in my spot, the hotel RV park, Fred gave me a friendly wave. I quickly parked and got up, got set up, and was about to take my dog for a walk when Fred mentioned, "Come over and take a look at your front tire. I think you may have a problem." Sure enough, my tire looked bent inwards. I was immediately thrown off for a bit of a loop. I don't know a lot about vehicles, but it looked bad. And Fred also said he doesn't know about a lot about vehicles either. But he said that I shouldn't leave CarMax without getting it checked out. I agreed with his judgment. I asked if there are any garages or places I can take a look at this, and said no. He said no, sorry. I went to the hotel lobby, explained the predicament, and if he has a number of a mechanic, I got a name and called. He said he would be on his way from home. He is from helping a friend out. Later that evening, Fred stopped to see how I was making out, and he brought a mechanic with him. Turned out to be Doug Pros, a mechanic that spends time here in the summer. I explained that I called the guy already and felt obligated to go with him, at least for his peek at the car. Doug said he understood, and he gave me his number in case it didn't work out. Later on that evening, Fred stopped and to check on me again. He also said to call Doug if things don't work out. Thank you, Fred and Doug, and for the letter. Okay. Let's... 6.1 here, council activity reports, Councillor Hansen.
I didn't make the last meeting, sorry about that, but I did go to the staff barbecue last week. It was well attended. It was a good time, very good lunch. Thank you very much, everybody. That's all.
Thank you.
I miss the staff party. I was in Farrell working, but I got nothing else to report.
Councillor Blanche.
I have nothing to report. I too missed, I was working.
All right. Regrets for Councillor Wheeler here. I too was unable to attend. I was working, but I did attend the barbecue for the pool. That was great. And I also got in contact with Janelle about recording some stuff with the planning of some buildings that are going on here. So I was able to get Prince to help me with that. So it's a big day when there's cranes in CarMax flying things around and things are moving. It was quite exciting.
Just slept through it.
Yeah, other than that, I don't have too much more, but I'll hand it off to Blake Rogers, CAO, for his report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In terms of important dates, the Yukon Government Community Tour is in CarMax on August 24th, so that would be this coming Monday. And that will include, we still don't actually know who's going to be on that tour. We include a few ministers as well as some officials. There should probably be about between 4 and 6 people in total. And so there'll be a meeting with council from 4:45 to 5:45, as well as a public meeting. I believe it's 7 to 8, but I'll have to double check on the time for that.
When we're supposed to meet here, at what time?
4:45 to 5:45.
Here.
Yeah. Yep. AYC will be in CarMax on September 1st, so that'll be right before the next council meeting and for the next council meeting on September 1st. So that'll be the chair and the executive director of AYC just to come and have a community meeting with council. In terms of the last 2 weeks, I too ended up missing the staff barbecue. Unfortunately, I wanted to go, but I was in Whitehorse having to participate in an evaluation for our project, the project tender for the Public Works building Tuesday. In addition to that, last week also, I had an in-person strategic planning session with the HAF consultants. So we talked a lot about next steps. We received two bids on our express our on our request for expression of interest. And so there is interest. And so now we're going to be proceeding with an RFP after we can look at that, getting a bit more information from both proponents. But that's in the works right now. There's also for HAF, there's also been a lot of discussion. I've had a bit of correspondence with the senator, who's put me in touch with another one of her colleagues in the Senate, who used to have she used to be in the banking world, and so he invited me to reach out to him to kind of talk more about. He's really interested in learning more about the issues that CarMax has faced from residents being unable to get construction loans, and then that disconnect with the HAF funding. And so he's going to, see if he can offer up some recommendations on that. In addition to that, it's on the agenda for the AYC meeting, administrators meeting on September 11th. Okay. And there's interest. Don't want to commit anybody, but there is interest from other communities in terms of sending a joint letter to the minister. So there's that conversation that's happening on that front as well too. I did have a call with the HAF advisor last week, and she it was a good conversation. She was very supportive of things, and she's going to try to see if there's flexibility within our existing agreement, although there may not be. But we have until February 2028 to spend all the money, but I don't know what that means about next season, if we're able to kind of eke out another season of incentives. So still kind of working on that. Prince and I met with Jesse Johnson. He's an LSCFN consultant. We talked about a project that they're continuing to kind of look at. We had a management roundtable last week, and in addition, on Wednesday, I had an in-person meeting with our tourism advisor. Coralie Elliott is the newly minted tourism advisor for CarMax in Dawson City, and also a former employee. So it was great to reconnect with her in the back in the tourism world again, and she's going to be out here with her supervisor on Monday. So yeah,
perfect.
Talk to her.
So.
So that'll be great. In addition to these things, just ongoing projects, continue. So developing recommendations for, so we're still looking at joint emergency planning. Blake is putting together a draft plan right now that we're going to be reviewing at the end of the month. Continue to advance greater supports for animal care and control. And there's an item on the agenda later that speaks to this a bit. Exploring options for improving energy security for the community. So one thing on this is I've had some conversations about looking at biomass as an option. And so this may be a kind of a beginning of a conversation, but if there's, in terms of looking at options for district heating or ways to have, secondary heat sources or alternative heat sources for some municipal buildings, for like wood pellet boilers, that kind of thing. So just kind of doing some preliminary research on some of that stuff, but there could be funding for these things. And again, tying into energy security for the community, maybe something to look at. Mapping out initiatives to enhance village communications. So this would be, we've hired a videographer to do some work for us. So thank you to the mayor for the introduction to Janelle. He's offered to do some work to show the housing initiatives that have been undertaken in the community this summer, as well as some ongoing work for finding a way to create a template so that we can start communicating on an ongoing basis, community messages in that kind of format. So he'll be helping us going forward here as well too. And then continuing research on land use planning. I think it's just kind of looking at what's available in terms of space and land development options that the municipality might have for being able to add more these kinds of things. So it's, I think it's just, yeah, at this point, it's just very blue sky thinking, but it's got to start somewhere. So.
Is there maybe a possible meeting with the land development branch, just maybe to, you haven't had that meeting yet, just to kind of with everybody here?
Yeah.
Over a few things, there might be things that change.
We had an initial meeting about a month ago, and so they came through town, and I think it was the same day that we did the DMAF engagement on May 20th. But I think there's an opportunity maybe to either have another conversation with that, or potentially if you'd like them to present to council and have a Q&A, we could arrange that as well too, depending on that.
I think like how council feels, I'll ask council about having that meeting. Are you looking to get freshened up on the land development branch and what's around here and maybe where they're at or where we could be at?
It'd be nice to know what land's available.
I'm interested to see what this lottery business is that's coming up.
Okay. But so it'd be a good, yeah.
I can definitely initiate the conversation, okay. and then maybe line up something a little further down the road, especially now that the strat plan is pretty close to completion. So
yeah, send that over to them.
That's
a good idea.
Hint.
Yeah.
So that's all for me.
I got one question. Did you say that the half money has to be spent by February of 2027?
2028.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard wrong because I was going, thought that was another year. Okay. Thank you.
And just a big thanks to the summer staff. They worked really hard this year. We had some really good summer staff. I went around and thanked all of them, well, as many as I could at the end of last week. We definitely appreciate all their efforts, pool staff as well too. So.
Yes.
Seemed like every time I drove by that pool had vehicles and bikes. So I just, is it closed? It's closed now?
The kids got to go when they were closing it up and give them a little push.
Yeah,
fun.
Yeah.
Right on.
Nice.
All the things you're not supposed to do.
So hopefully we get a longer season.
It's in there for perpetuity now. Yeah. It's recorded.
Good celebration.
One last question on that. We were talking about some of our own community people were training into that.
Yep.
So we might get a longer season next year or something.
That's the hope. Yeah. Chanel did a really great job in terms of really mentoring and helping. And I know that the two girls that were the summer students there that are local here, there was a lot of really good feedback and a lot of hope that they're going to come back and be full on lifeguards next year.
Awesome. Right on. Okay.
Moving on to bylaw report.
Yes.
Monthly report. So it's for July. Dogs at large, 4. There are dogs at large on Klondike Highway. Year to date is 35. Aggressive dog complaints, 1. Received 1 aggressive dog complaint on Sanjik Road, LSCFN property. Owner is called cooperating to ensure the dog is tied and secured. Thank you very much for that, Liam. Traffic bylaw violations, 4 in July, year to date, 12. Tractor trailers avoiding bypass, 1 tractor trailer with an unsecured load, 1 parking complaint. Assist with RCMP, 1 year to date, 3. Proactive patrol with RCMP. Public encounters, 10, year-to-date 30, assist members of the public on Klondike Highway regarding a motor vehicle incident. The driver of one vehicle was transported to the health center. Open space infractions, 0, year-to-date 1. Highlights here, Liam has responded to one aggressive dog, obviously, that we read. Issued a violation ticket to a contractor for an unauthorized excavation of a village roadway. Observed tractor trailer avoiding bypass, which caused damage to the boardwalk, unsecured load and commercial vehicles. Assist with first responders on a scene of a motor vehicle incident with a first aid and directing traffic on the Klondike Highway at near Braeburn. Thank you, Liam.
Do you know whether that ticket has been paid or not?
The one for the construction? It has been, as far as I know. Yeah.
Yes. Last week.
The other one, go
ahead. No, I just think that's good.
The other one question I have, Blake, is the traffic bylaw violations where it says tractor trailer avoiding a bypass. Specifically in a council meeting that was asked for YTG to remove the name of bypass off of where Casino Way is because it was misleading that it was like bypass the village, but it doesn't in fact. Like, so maybe we're looking at direction from Highways and Public Works onto like, you know, is that road or to council, is that road the bypass road of like for this purpose, or what is that read in this upcoming traffic bylaw section, right? So yeah, those would be things that I would like to kind of highlight
for sure,
those things to look at, because we're saying one thing but it's not actually allocated as like a bypass road, or it's not actually the fact of, and then people that are using it or not using it don't know the direction that they're supposed to do.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that bypass word was getting taken off there and I was just being leaving.
I believe it has been, but like
I just call it bypass.
It kind of is a bypass, so the big trucks can bypass town and get out
of
both fields.
Yeah, but you can't bypass the village is what people were misleading on. They thought they could just go through car.
Oh, like getting on to Bella.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That was their mistake. Wow. Everybody gets lost. That's how you see things.
And if a truck goes to the store and turns down River Drive and goes down, they're not going to get a ticket for that, are they? Really?
Yeah. There's one actually really recent example from Friday is that a tractor trailer went down River Drive and was going down to and went down to cross the North Lawrenceville Bridge, and it took up the entire road. Entire road, so like cars had to pull over like to let it go through
and back up.
Yeah, it was. And actually Liam issued a warning to them, and the RCMP actually showed up as well too, because it was that much of a scene. But part of it also comes back to signage. I don't think that there's adequate signage down that way either.
That's right.
So
well, if a load's that wide, he shouldn't be without a wide load vehicle anyway.
Yeah, but
12 feet wide.
In the bylaw, when you're reading the bylaw, there's like a special permission to use the road like that in these areas. And then in certain times of years at a certain time of year when the road is soft or whatever, there should be zero heavy equipment other than the maintained equipment that's used for like the residents that are here, with the exception that you have two industrial lots across the Norton School Bridge that two property owners have no other choice but to move out of those properties.
That's what
should be captured in that bylaw.
Yeah. And below 30 below, nobody should be on the road without, so well, maybe even 20 below should be the minimum for chains. Anything after that, it's just too warm.
Yeah, that was one of the other ones was the years past where chains have been used right when it's like at the softest point and it really digs into the road. So that's another piece that's captured in that bylaw.
What? Does Liam work late hours at all?
Sometimes, depends.
Okay, the reason why I'm asking, because there was a post on Facebook in regards to our Murph 2 Park being disgusting, bottles and stuff like that.
Well, we could answer those types of questions and if you can bring those to Blake.
Yeah, no, I'm just asking if he does evening.
His standard work hours are, I mean, usually 6 o'clock kind of thing. It's not, okay. He doesn't usually go late, but there are times when he'll work late and just if there's certain things that keep him, things he has to respond to, but
okay.
Generally, it's not, he's not responding at all hours unless it's like a, yeah.
What hours is he? 8 till 6?
No, it's usually like 9:30 to 5:30 or okay. 10 to 6.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Association of Yukon Communities. Representative is not here. Councillor Wheeler, I'll ask Councillor Hansen if she has anything to add to that.
I don't know anything about AYC since I'm off the board.
No. Thank you for reminding
me. You're welcome.
I'm just so used to you being there.
I know. I'm just getting used to it myself. That's a bad thing.
All right. Bylaws. Now, this would be 327-26 VOC bylaw special services. Now, I would call for the question to open it, but I also ask if you want to move this to the next council meeting, considering that one of our councillors isn't here to have a say, or the other one is to have, we just had an extended period of public engagement, which we didn't really get anything. But if we want to furthermore that before final.
Have we heard back from the First Nation on?
You spoke at the joint council meeting about it.
No, but has anything else?
They were going to talk about it at their next chief and council,
which would have been Monday.
Yeah, there was. So I got an email that I can speak to on the home.
Well, it comes time later.
Yeah, I can share it now. I don't know.
So
I think that we should move it into our next meeting so that Tara's here, especially with if there's information from Little Salmon.
I don't think there's any new information from Little Salmon. The only new information would be from this email, and we've engaged everybody that we can. I mean, we can keep it open, but I don't. We've talked with all the different stakeholders. We've had multiple engaged. Like it's gone on since April in terms of it being open. I don't know if everybody will be here at the next meeting either, if it's first. So, I mean, I could be wrong, but.
May I make a motion that we give the bylaw a third reading and finally pass it?
Do we have a seconder?
I'll second it.
Discussion?
It's like I said, it's been open since April. I think it's been discussed across. As long as First Nation, had no other questions. I'm good to move on.
Would you share that with us, please?
Yeah, they have a request. So this was a follow-up from the JCM. It was an email that was received on August 8th from the executive director. So it says, I'm following up on the joint council meeting and the questions around the bylaw office providing animal control through the MOU. Council would like to request that if the VOC makes the decision to move forward with the designation for this position to peace officer and provide tools for protection, that we work on adding something either to the policy or regulations around the bylaw or within the MOU with the nations that allows someone designated by the nation to participate in the investigation should an incident occur on settlement land.
And so I think that makes sense.
I fully concur. Yeah. My recommendation from administration would be to look at the latter, which is the MOU with the nations, which really dictates the reason why our bylaw officer would be over on settlement land is to respond to for animal control, which is really governed by the MOU that's in place right now. So what I would recommend is that before the bylaw, if it was passed today, before it gets put into practice, that it's with the caveat that the work is done on the MOU to amend the MOU to include the language around this to make sure that LSEFN is comfortable with that.
Because he doesn't go over there unless he's requested anyway.
Right.
By their administration. Okay.
So before going over with protective gear and, you know, anything like that, a change up, it would be needed to make amendments to the MOU that speaks to that language so that, you know, should he get a call, it would be the procedure would change to going and connecting with a representative from LSEFN to respond to the call.
She's not saying to respond to a call. She's just saying if an incident should occur, they should be part of the. Isn't that what she means?
Basically, so council would like to request that the BOC makes the decision to move forward with the designation for this position to peace officer and provide tools for protection, that we work on adding something either to the policy or regulations around the bylaw or within the MOU with the nations that allows someone designated by the nation to participate in the investigation should an incident occur on settlement land. So the way I read this is that if our bylaw officer is called over to settlement land to respond to an issue, he's wearing protective gear, he would be working with an LFCFN representative together and responding to the call.
I'm thinking that she means if he has to use use of force, then someone from there team should look into it with us.
Yeah, that's time reading it.
It could be
written. Probably should get clarification.
We could, again, I think this is kind of why it would be good to include that language in the MOU and make sure that before this is put in practice, that the work on the MOU is done to make sure it's done.
It actually only helps Liam or whoever that person is going to be, because that way they have a witness. You know, they have someone there.
This is the third reading where that would need to be put in there because it is open now and can be put in there.
But we're wanting to put it in the MOU instead of the bylaw.
Because it's more specific.
So we wouldn't be doing that at this point.
So it's just the MOU that would need, not the bylaw.
Would it make sense to pass the bylaw before the MOU is amended?
You could do it if it's with the agreement by council that the MOU or that the bylaw isn't put into practice until the MOU is revised that really governs Liam's call out to or the bylaw or the bylaw officer's call out to settlement land. Because that's the piece that really is specific to that situation of our bylaw officer going to settlement land.
May I amend my motion to include that the memorandum would be changed to include the language requested, and at such time as that memorandum is passed, then we would go ahead with enforcing the bylaw on Nelson and Carbet's First Nation lands.
Or in general. It's all. Once the bylaw is passed, it's all. It's just including that MOU in the bylaw to be able to enact it that way.
The other piece of it, too, is that once the bylaw is passed, You can still put a pause on the policy that enables intermediate weapons to be used, and taking the oath as a peacekeeper, and all, I mean, that would be more of an internal policy piece that could be, just paused until these other bureaucratic things are worked through, to make sure that everything's all good. The other piece of this that I'd recommend, based on everything that's come out of the engagement, both with LSEFN, the public, RCMP, our legal opinion, is to ensure that before anything is put into practice, that training, the certified training, is all refreshed, that we make sure that the bylaw officer has full certification in the use of all these tools, and that it's up to date, and it's that's done. And I've had that conversation with our bylaw officer, and he understands that as well too. Mm-hmm. So he should the bylaw pass today, that wouldn't mean it would be off to the races. It would mean that policy would basically dictate we're not going to move forward with this until all of these check boxes are checked, which would be the MOU revision as well as the training.
Do we have to mention the MOU within the bylaw?
No.
Okay. Then my conclusion is open, I guess. Or in general, I would have to further amend to say that we would pass the bylaw, but it would not take effect until the memorandum of understanding is signed and changed, and the trial law enforcement officer is trained and certified in the use of his intermediates, his or her.
You have a seconder for that amendment?
I'll second that. Sounds good.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Sorry, Prince.
Next time we won't use the word weapon, we'll use personal protective equipment.
Wow, there's no point sugarcoating.
All in favor of the amendment? Okay. Any further discussion on the bylaw 327-26, Village of Thermites Service Constable?
Thank you.
All those in favor? That's this third and final read based on the amendment. Oops. Okay. 7.2 307-24, Village of Carmex Traffic Bylaw, first reading. Would need a motion.
I make a motion to give 307-24 VOC or does that change to 26?
Will we be writing a new bylaw or just revising this one?
This would just be the
well,
we don't know until
so how could
just give all of the traffic bylaw?
It's a first reading. Open for discussion. Then it's in public for how long?
You first reading discussion. The first reading passes. It's usually then you would go into like doing public engagement,
yeah,
and then do it, and then collecting that feedback and for then, the second story.
So it'd be an amendment to pop that, not a full rewrite.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give the first reading of the traffic bylaw.
Seconded.
Awesome.
Any discussion? Talking about how long and what the public engagement piece could look like for us.
We have gotten some feedback already.
Yes.
Should we go to the public in regards to feedback right now?
We have some feedback because it's already been posted for public, just based on our last council meeting.
Yeah.
When that was participated in our meeting until the question period.
I just misunderstood.
Okay, thanks.
But we do have three resident letters that we can have a look at I'd like to thank the residents for coming forward with their letters of information for council to review. But we're in discussion on the bylaw for public consult. Everybody's good with that right now.
Yeah, we could do similar to the way we did with the bylaw service constable bylaw, then have our meeting start at half an hour early and ask people to come and ask their questions at that time and have their input. Would that be acceptable?
Yeah.
Which meeting will we love to do that? The next one or the following one? The next one's going to be pretty busy.
Two council meetings,
I think,
before that happens.
Yeah.
Just to collect the information and review.
Give
people.
I will say that I have reviewed this. We'll let you review it as well. But just to make it public that we have three public.
I'm just glad there's engagement.
Yes.
Yeah. Me too.
There's a high level of engagement with this one. Yeah.
Well, we got it, you know.
Okay.
It's good.
Yeah. Moving on.
We didn't vote on it.
You didn't vote on just the public engagement piece? You want to? We already did before. We're just discussing like what we have to intake.
But I thought we did a first reading.
Yeah. We already did the public and voted on it going to public before we opened the first.
Oh, okay.
Just to have it come back.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I think.
If I could just ask our municipal clerk for a second, do you have any other thoughts on in terms of just the process for this?
Just for the second reading, if the council has anything recommended, any changes or that we can bring the forward the second reading as amended at all.
Yes, to see.
Yeah.
So it would be anything that council wants to bring forward that we can make the edits and put it in the second reading. Mm-hmm. One thing that I'd bring up from administration is that on a technical level, the tickets. So right now in the bylaw, it says that infractions must be paid within 10 days. That doesn't align with the Motor Vehicles Act, so it actually has to change to 30 days because our bylaw officer has given out tickets that have just gone nowhere. They haven't been able to be processed in the system because it doesn't align with the act that governs defines
summary convictions.
That's it. Thank you. Yeah, so we would have to make that change at some point. I would recommend from administration putting that into the second reading, going into change from 10 days to 30 to align with them.
So
makes perfect sense.
Some of the other things that I would highlight to just make note on when you're reviewing the bylaw is the fact that it is a green space actually designated as a green space, and we need to maybe as a council and administration to identify those places as to where the speed changes are, like right now.
Parks, like the playground.
Is it actually designated as a park or a green space, or what those spaces are? Because it felt like before we were just going with what was already there, but is it actually designated as those areas? Okay. Any other further discussion on the public engagement piece for that bylaw?
I have one question. It might be a stupid one. I said 9.0.5. So the person may operate a heavy equipment in the downtown core between the hours of 6 a.m. and 11 a.m. and between the hours of 7 to 12. What happened to the hours between 11 to 7? Vehicles aren't allowed to move? What does that mean?
So that's A great question. Anything you find like that? Because this is the reasoning why it is being brought back as to some things that might be like what you're asking is to highlight that and then submit it to Blake. Yeah. And then we could bring it and discuss it.
I might be reading it wrong, but it just seems weird. You can operate from 6 to 11 and shut down, and then all of a sudden you come back 7 to midnight. Like, am I reading that wrong? Why wouldn't you be allowed just to work through? But I don't know. I could be reading it wrong.
My suggestion is to highlight what you have there and then submit it to Blake. And then once we bring it back for a second, then we can open that all up.
Yeah. I guess I could be reading it wrong. It could be me.
Okay, moving on. Council motion to approve addition to the civic addressing bylaw 301-24.
I'll make a motion that we amend bylaw 301-24 to approve the addition of a new civic address. Is that what we're doing?
It sounds like there's an additional addressing that needs to be added in.
Yeah.
Do we have a seconder?
I second it.
Discussion. Any other questions? Maybe clarification on
yes, please.
You're adding.
Can I turn this over to you, Brent?
Yeah. So we have one development in the last 2 years down by the river, rec center, the shelter project from LSEFM. So they have done with the development, and so now they need the civic addressing for their utilities, power, wells.
Perfect.
So we are sending them one.
They need this.
Yeah. So it's like in addition to the bylaw. Is it amended as well?
You're just adding
to the
current one. That's right.
May I ask a question, please?
Yes.
Will that building be added to our taxation?
Yes.
Yes. That's very good. Yes. Thank you.
We'll see how the assessment comes by end of November.
Excellent. Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion? All those in favor of adding?
Yep.
Thank you. That passes. New and unfinished business, 8.1. Is council's strategic plan review?
Yeah. So the strat plan has been out for review since July 17th, I think. Was it two meetings ago? So it's been out for about a month for public review, and. I don't believe we've gotten any more feedback at the office, have we, Prince?
We just got a few requests for the draft plan and we sent it.
Yeah. So it's, yeah.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the Village CarMax Council strategic plan.
Sorry, one small error, just a glitch that I saw on there. Today when I was looking at it, one amendment would be on page 6. It says if plan was developed through a facility office committee planning session held in 2026 building on, and the second bullet it says recent and ongoing initiatives including the housing accelerator fund, the new CarMax recreation complex. I was asked to change that
yes.
to arena. In all those areas.
So it's like a separate building, right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
Because so
you change it from rec center to arena?
Yeah.
Well, we have they call it
the rec center.
Rec center, the arena, and the whole place is the recreation complex.
Oh, so
that's right.
Okay, so it's okay as is?
I would think so.
Okay.
I know that Councillor Wheeler did ask for some separation there based on funding.
Yeah.
So as long as that separation
but
is probably like presented there.
Yeah, it says the original form, it says the new CarMax recreation complex.
And it's not really new. Only half of this.
That's right.
So maybe just remove the word new.
Yes.
Or do you want to break it into two? Karma extracts.
It is. So the way I read that, and I understand you're giving it like a title of that it has as a complex or whatever, but it is separated and not joined by a firewall, okay. Like specifically because of what they are two separate entities of a building.
Yeah.
They both have their own heat source. They both. Yeah.
I just know that, yeah, I remember Councilor Whaler had asked for the revision. I thought I caught them all, so it was like maybe I missed that one. But maybe it's just the word new that throws it off. So,
okay.
Yeah, so.
Or you could say the new CarMax Arena. It's either or. CarMax Recreation Complex or new CarMax Arena.
But then you would still say the rec.
But you're leaving out the rec thing. Maybe yeah, just say the arena.
So I guess just my, so with the recommendation from administration would be to admit the word new.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. The motion?
I made a motion.
Oh, as amended now?
Yes.
Yes, as amended.
Second.
Yes, okay.
Any further discussion?
Just real quick, do you want to break it into two? CarMax Rec Center and new arena.
Okay. There you go.
My apologies for starting some dominoes.
Too much fun for you.
Okay, all those in favor. Congratulations. Puzzles.
And bon dinner.
That's okay. 8.2 housing initiatives update.
I covered a lot of this in my update, but I guess I just say that I think that given where we're at with the discussion with the consultants last Monday, and there is interest from the modular companies for doing something out here. We actually were really happy with the response that we got. We thought that there's a lot of interest and potential there. But yeah, I think that there could, I mean, it's always hard to change a federal program and timelines and things like that, but we are seeing a lot of stars aligning in terms of just the political level and just within with both like YG departments, community services have been very supportive. UConn Housing has been very supportive. I think that they're if we can get a longer runway to use the money, I think that there will be an opportunity to be able to find a way to use it. It's just the biggest push is trying to get that runway. But I do, the conversation so far with a number of communities has been really like collaborative. They really want to work on this together. So I think that there's good potential on that. So I would say that sending a letter to the federal minister is a good idea. I think it just comes back to whether or not we send individual letters or talk with other communities about sending a joint one, which is probably would be arguably more powerful if you could do that.
Yeah. I know that AYC President Hedger, when she comes on September 1st, will have probably a good little piece to say on that, because she's getting into us.
And I thought the other downfall is banks don't want to touch trailers.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get clarification on what's considered a trailer and what's not.
Ma'am.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Maintenance, repairs, updates of municipal buildings.
So I'll start with this one, but I think a lot of this comes back to, like, it was, I kind of lumped all these together. Part of this, I'll ask Prince to speak to as well too on some of the technical pieces, but. Generally, so the public works building retrofit, the because of the construction that's going to be going on there starting in March of April and or next year, we are going to need to move our equipment and whatnot out of that area so that construction can take place. So we've been trying to find a solution to this. The solution that was recommended, I've had conversations with management on this. So one of the solutions that was put forward that we all thought was a good idea is to use the old fire hall for storage for the time being during the construction, so that the equipment will have a place to be, and it will, you know, the pros of that is that it would be downtown, so it'd be closer to being able to be used in the residential area here. It would also mean that the retrofits that are being that were proposed for completely fixing, I think the amount that was listed was $90,000 at this point for the mitigation of the issues that are going on over there right now. That would negate that, which would mean that we could really minimize the amount that would be needed to just fix it for a storage purpose. Downside is obviously we'd be missing some rent from that unit without having tenants in there. But it does kind of solve two issues, which is a big cost in repairs and having a place to be able to store equipment during the construction of this. Maybe I'll, Prince, do you want to add to this just in terms of the old fire hall piece?
It's technically it's just we are deferring the that we discussed in the last meeting that either you want to fix it or demolish the old firewall. But as it came to our attention that it's coming up the project Public Works and it has to be done by next year 2027 December. YG will have to spend all the money on the public works and they will be out of that space for some. Then they will need the equipment storage space.
If the air quality is bad, they're going to have to be in there. Like they can't remotely put the vehicles in there.
It's a good question.
I've had conversations with Jens about it at this day, and I had the same question about, you know, is this going to compromise safety? And he said that it shouldn't compromise health, like worker health, because they'd just be coming and going, and it wouldn't be actually being in there. I think of the office area is where the bulk of the issue is in terms of the mold issue, from what I understand based on the report. It's not the bays, it's the office area. But I could go back and just confirm that.
I'm afraid this could blow up 20 years down the road when they have respiratory issues. Well, you sent us into the fire hall.
I would like confirmation on the extent of
whether it's safe
hazard. Before
that. Go in when passes.
I mean, we still have time to
or sign a waiver.
Yeah. We can definitely can get confirmation on that, follow up on it.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Was there any more?
No, I think just generally, there's obviously other repairs, maintenance things. Yeah. Needed. The pool is another conversation probably, just with the amount of things that were noted at the beginning of the season. But I think we'll have to probably best to maybe come back to that as a separate one.
Yeah, that's good. How about the anticipation of opening the arena and what those repairs look like?
So ICE is set to go in on September 23rd. Cisco is planning to be up and do an inspection at that time as well too. So we won't really know the extent of what's needed until they do the assessment at that point.
Is that just regarding the ICE plan, or is that regarding like the whole building? Because that's like Simco like is only hired to fix their ICE plan, not the rest of the heating boiler and stuff like that.
I know, Prince, did you want to speak to this one?
Singapore is only for the refrigeration and creating the ice. Other one would be Siemens.
Siemens for the handler.
Yes.
And the heat.
Yes. And some electrician work that either they don't do with not
Siemens. So is that because the building has to be like cold or like that's what I'm just trying to understand is that you're going to commission the ice. But your heating or cooling system might possibly need work. I'm just trying to understand how.
I could be wrong on this, but from what I understand, YG is trying to line up Siemens to come up at the same time as Cisco comes up so that they can all be here together and kind of see how everything is working at the same time. Am I right on that? Have you seen correspondence of that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll get verification on that. I don't know. Yeah, I guess at this point it's still kind of a TBD in terms of the you know, the repairs and maintenance that's needed for the arena for this year. At this point, you know, Public Works said that there's, you know, nothing wrong right now, but I mean it's not typically working in full capacity right now. So.
And just maybe a follow-up question on the rec center side of like repairs, or thought there was like some type of like tender going out for like painting or something like that.
We have so I don't know if Chanel's heard back from the painter that she got the quote from. Last I was talking with her, she hadn't heard back from the painter yet. But again, I'll follow up and confirm on that one and get back to you.
Okay.
I've heard more than one complaint about the noise from the gym upstairs when those events happening in the sex center. Is there any plan to cordon that off so there's no noise downstairs when it's open?
I don't think there's anything in the plan at this point. Does anybody remember if this has been explored before?
I don't know. I remember Councillor Wheeler and I talking about it, but I didn't know if she brought it to a meeting or not. But it's a fairly common occurrence that things are happening in the gym and there's people working out to music and banging and what can, and it is somewhat overwhelming when you're downstairs.
Yeah, I've heard that as well and witnessed it too. So, yeah, no.
We can leave that.
Yeah. No, I'll, yeah.
Well, it's also common courtesy. I've done weights and some of those guys are doing it I've gone up there and said, can you guys be quiet? And they've settled down.
Yeah.
You know, but it is a bad spot. Like I said, I'll always harp on that. But there was a talk about putting some kind of barricade there. I really wouldn't know what you'd be able to do.
Yeah.
Harp ain't going to stop it.
Michael figured.
Yeah.
Oh, already. Someone up
there. Cement wall.
Did you need a motion for this change of the roof at the fire hall to the roof here?
It's probably, I mean, it would be good. Yeah. I think just for due diligence. I think the whole point of it is that we're not spending money at the old fire hall, but we're reallocating some of it over here, but then we are going to have to give some of it back to YG because they gave us a bunch of money up front for all these different fixes. So we have to find out how much of the clawback is from the roof versus the other things that were fixed over there, like the furnace and so yeah, I think just to make it cleaner would probably be a good idea.
Sure.
Just to make sure council's on side with it.
Motion to reallocate the
capital funds as needed.
Seconder.
That's like
from last year, and I remember, I think we approved both of the...
This roof and
the... This roof and there.
But he didn't come to do this roof.
He didn't. He was supposed to do the first one and the final
right.
one.
He just made repairs to this one to get us through. Right? Like that top.
Yeah, he did a little bit of repair outside. But... Yeah.
Is he going to finish the roof here?
But we did make a motion to have this one repaired at some point.
But was the cost included in that? Because the cost has gone up.
It's 59,000.
But the cost has gone up.
64?
Five.
65.
No. I would say, can you bring that to the next meeting and we could deal with that? It's presented with you.
Yeah.
Some more on the agenda.
Maybe I should have just left it.
That's a good catch. That's why you think big bucks.
Gee, I don't know.
Moving on, 8.5 mobile vet clinic.
Wait, did we do 8.4? No.
End of season. I think a lot of these were covered, the end of season notifications, but basically it was just the pool is now closed. It was closed as of Saturday. And it's just kind of a thank you to the summer staff for all the hard work that they did.
DRC?
The VIC
is still open.
It's still, yeah. It's
still open.
I'm trying to remember, what's the last date? The
long weekend, next long weekend. Oh, Labor Day. That's all.
Labor Day. Okay. Labor Day. Sounds good. Yeah. Thank you.
So,
8.5 mobile vet clinic.
Yeah. So we got a call today from a it's a veterinarian who's based in the Okanagan, and she used to work at All Paws back in the day. Basically they are looking to do a mobile vet clinic that would be a kind of a, it wouldn't be a consistent thing. It would be one time in September at this point. It's on a trial basis, like it's a bit of a trial balloon, but they have been to Haines Junction and it went fairly successful there. It's pretty basic. It would basically just entail the vet and her assistant coming to CarMax and doing routine vaccinations, boosters. They can issue medication for some like ear, eye, throat issues, general checkups. They could do euthanasia potentially, I'm not sure. But what would they would need is they often do house visits, I guess, in Whitehorse. So they drive up and they just kind of spend hour long, they do house visits in Whitehorse, and in the communities there's just too much demand to do house visits. But if they had a central location, they said that they wanted to work with the municipality to be able to offer the service when they come up. And so the idea would be that they'd take bookings. What they would need would be they just need a room with an electric outlet and Wi-Fi. And basically it's pretty standard stuff what they do. I've this is really new, like for us.
Is it free?
No. So
they can pay rent for a space.
They could, yeah. So if the village has space, we can rent it to them. So I have talked with Liam a little bit about this. Ideally, I think if the village was going to rent space out, probably be good to talk to the rec center staff to see if there's a space in the rec center. So the vets have gone to rec centers before and worked really well. But having a place that's really central that people know like how to get to would be a lot more recommended, just to be able to kind of like keep the flow going and whatnot. But it sounds like a really good opportunity. I am looking into just making sure that, certifications there, reviews are good and all that stuff. So like I said, this is fresh off the press, but so far so good. It does sound like it's a very promising thing. Again, this would be kind of a one-time thing. They're talking, you know, maybe coming back next year when the boosters are due, that kind of thing. But, I guess the thing that makes it a little bit closer to home is that, again, both the assistant and the vet both lived in the Yukon for quite some time. The vet used to work at All Paws, and the assistant has spent time in the communities. I think she might be like born and raised in Yukon as well too. So they're very familiar with Yukon. They know that the demand is there. Communities, they posted on Facebook about this, and mm-hmm. they already got like, you know, a ton of people saying, please bring this here. And so it's,
I think that too is, but people think it's free. People think it's free.
Well, they asked the question if there was a charge. She said yes.
Yeah.
So say she did respond, Nick.
Yeah.
Somehow or another last time Green got it. It's free.
Well, the good part.
There was no charge for the rest of it. I don't know how to tell you.
But I am looking at another option as well too. So this, I think this could be a good short term solution to explore further. But I am looking at the program that Pelly has accessed. So thank you for the contact at Selkirk. So I've been in touch with them. They're the organization that Selkirk is in agreement with is called CAT. And I forget what it stands for, but they're an NGO based in the mainland, and they do mobile vet clinics to communities on a 5-year contractual basis. And I think that one might be free. I could be wrong.
It is.
Okay. But they are accepting new applications right now. So I have been in touch with the Humane Society there. They sent me the link. It's like, so they're accepting applications during August. I don't know if it's possible. Just, I'll try, but, one of the criteria is that you have to be 2 hours away from vet services. So
yeah, we are.
Yeah. So okay.
That's what they always say. We're 2 hours from my door.
Okay. Yeah. So I mean, I'll put it out there, and we can see if
we're 176 kilometers.
And it's
4 kilometers short, maybe at 90.
Well, and if you got, you know, government speed limits,
exactly. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, turn down to 70.
Yeah. So there, yeah, exactly. Anyway, I'll keep exploring and follow up with council in the next meeting. But I wanted to give you an update.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Community infrastructure development plan.
So community services reached out. They're doing this community infrastructure development plan. It's basically asset management, but for all the communities. So kind of like they're kind of getting a sense of what each community needs. I think they're just doing kind of an overarching macro analysis on things. But they're looking for the priorities. So 3 priorities for infrastructure. Like, what are the biggest needs for the village? And they asked for, I think they know too, which is like,
so we could give it to them.
Well, I said I'd bring it up. So bring it up. You know, I have a feeling that the health services building is numero uno, since
yes, it is, Blake.
Okay. Since you signed the
Good charter. Guess.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think Energy, Mines, and Resources.
Right. But that's a close number two, isn't it?
We need land development branch for one too, so it's a good thing we're on that one.
True. I was going to ask, and I guess, I mean, all of these I think come with kind of caveats too, but is the sewage lagoon a priority? If it's not owned by the village?
It doesn't matter who owns it, it's still a priority to the public that the need access to sewage. So,
is that thing going to fill up over there?
Well, so in Cormac First Nation, we're looking into a site specific in the area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that went. I mentioned that at the joint council meeting.
It's in a, like, last I heard, it's in a positive direction. So, yeah.
Positive direction for the person that has the site specific, or a positive direction for the lagoon construction?
I think it sounds like for both.
Okay.
Yeah. Sound, but yeah.
Never gonna buy out that person?
No. The other one is this DMF. That's $38 million sitting there waiting to go into Yesen.
Yeah.
Or just went in.
So those would be, would those be the three? Are there any other?
They're asking for an additional on that.
It's just a very basic, like the way the question is worded is, what are the three biggest infrastructure priorities for the village?
I would say, based off that strategic plan and our, we'll be able to.
If they ask for four, energy generation should be four.
Yeah, it's in the strat plan. So.
There you go.
Perfect.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And not too far away from YTG, but YTG Land Lottery.
Yes, nice little segue there. So I'm actually going to pass over to Prince for this one, just to give an update on how this impacts CarMax, because YG made this announcement last week that 10 lots are being made available throughout the Yukon. CarMax is listed one place where it was, and so Prince is our expert on land use here. So
we had this lot, somebody returned it, they got it in 2024 in lottery, but they didn't have any development and they gave it back to YG, and YG was not leasing it. And I went in on June 17 for half moving, and there was a YG director of lands branch.
Yeah,
I asked her if she can speed up the process to lease this lot, so if somebody's interested, they can do the development with the half funding.
Perfect.
So she heard us, so it was leased last week.
Okay, so it's out there right now online.
Yeah. Anybody can do the what it says.
Over the counter. So it's on the website, lots for sale.
Yes.
Something pops up finally.
It's not in a lottery.
No.
It was the first come,
first. It's first come, first serve.
Perfect.
And I'm not in for Thursday.
I didn't have to go to Whitehorse if somebody's so interested in the lot.
Which lot? They can purchase it through me too.
Yeah. But if you are
not, I'm not there Thursday. I don't know.
You'll have to look at the website just like everybody else, and maybe we can share that information with everybody else first.
It's a lot on the Prospector Road where there's already the development. So it's one lot behind that.
It's lot 100, 200.
200.
Lot 200.
On Prospector,
yes.
I know who bought them, but I don't know which way.
It's just across from that.
It's right at the junction of the streets.
That's right there by the tower pole.
But yeah, okay. That's good news.
Right on.
All right. I think that's it for new and unfinished. Going to question period for any of our guests online. The floor is yours if you'd like to ask a question.
This gal left. She's got nothing to say.
Okay, thank you very much. Oh, this is calls for an in-camera session.